place. No, I won't let you down. Yeah, you can disguise all the bounding of your heart. Yeah, I see your eyes, and you can start to make sense and quit playing these love.
And honestly, Minneapolis, you should be proud of yourself, because there were so many moments this weekend where I was like, I'm touched to live here, to be a resident. I am touched to know my neighbors. Things that I think we should all know before we get started. It is 83 degrees today, so it's getting a little steamy. Make sure you find someplace cool. I hope you got a little personal fan. Hope the AC and the fans are running. Hope y'all have just got it on lock. And stay hydrated. Please stay hydrated. This is also a reminder to me. Second up, Minnesota Lynx just won. They cinched playoff berth, which means that they are number one in the standings. We have home court advantage, more games for us. And one of my absolute favorite players in the whole wide world, Kayla McBride, has the most three-pointers in a WNBA game ever. So that's just really beautiful and exciting. And I just came from an amazing show supporting two local DJs. One of them, Eli, also known as Chico Chi, who was on the show last week for all of y'all that tuned in. And we have another DJ who y'all might hear a little bit later on in the fall, DJ Aziki. They put together an event called Afternoon Delight, and it was at Black Heart in St. Paul. Shout out to the Paul. It was just a beautiful 4-hour R&B set. We were outdoors. We were just all lounging, playing. What's that game with the hecky sack and the cornhole? Cornhole, yes. I was not talking to myself. I was talking to our guests. So
yeah. I didn't want to speak over you. I'm like, this is your show.
Helping me fill in the blanks. So yes, overall, again, please just get out, support, you know, support your local artists doing amazing things. These are our neighbors. These are our friends. And they're doing it, yes, for themselves since their job, but they're also doing it for you. It's a symbiotic relationship. Yeah, I do take science courses. Alrighty. So this is the second installment of I Love You Minneapolis. I forget what I said yesterday's apostrophe S's DJ series. And I have an amazing guest on the show, and I would love for our guests to introduce themselves.
What's up, y'all? This is Aries Firebomb. Some of y'all know me. Some of y'all may know me by my government name, Jamon Kimbrough, but I am better known as Aries Firebomb. And yeah, I have been a DJ here for the last 7 years, which is crazy. Actually, no, it's been long. No, it's been 7 years. Time's not real. Time's not real. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, as our song stress, our chanteuse, Mariah Carey said, time is an illusion. It's an illusion.
Yes.
Thank you, guest. So, of course, for every guest that I have on the show, I have to ask, what is your favorite childhood memory that involves the radio, since we are on a radio show?
Yeah, speaking of Mariah Carey, it's actually her. Like, everybody who knows me, and if you don't know me, you're about to know now, I am a huge Mariah Carey fan, like huge. And I distinctly remember being about 4 years old, driving with my parents in the summertime and hearing Dream Lover on the radio for the first time. And I was getting a Happy Meal that day and I got my little Hot Wheels car, just listening to Mariah Carey jamming. And it was like a beautiful summer day. And for some reason that has always stuck out in my mind. So whenever I hear that song now, I just instantly go back to that day when I was just in Chicago in the backseat with my Happy Meal, listening to Mariah Carey. So.
Shout out Chicago. Honestly, I feel like our lovely Midwestern cousin. We love
yes,
you dearly.
Yes, yes.
And Mariah Carey definitely has a song for every season of our lives.
For every season.
I don't know if I would say she's somebody that's grown with us, but she, I don't know, she feels...
I'd say she's definitely grown with me anyway, for sure, because, like, I think her debut was, like, 1990. I was, like, two then, like, one or two then. So, yeah, she's definitely grown with me. I remember Emancipation of Mimi came out when I was in high school. And such a great album. And, yeah, just having very vivid memories. Like, I can usually tie them back to either Mariah Carey, Janet Jackson, or Beyonce. So, yeah.
The true.
And that's no slight to Queen Whitney. It's her birthday today. Shout out to Whitney Houston. That's also like the empress of music as far as I'm concerned. Like vocal Bible for real.
You know what? Let me continue doing my little job here. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. And do you want us to call you Jamon or Aries on this production?
Either one is fine, okay, honestly.
Let's
whatever.
Jamon. I've done that before.
Oh yeah, let's get into it. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, and I love asking individuals their memory of how we first met. And honestly, I forgot. It feels like a part of my life at this point as Mariah Carey. So it's just part of the backdrop.
Like, I was looking at that question. I was like, when did I meet Ash for the first time? And it's like, I distinctly remember, like, introducing, like, us being introduced to each other. But I don't know when that was.
Okay. I don't remember where it was, but I do remember being like, I don't know if I know what to say to this individual. Because I've just awkwardly been a fan for years. And now I'm like... Now I have to be a human being with thoughts and feelings and concerns. And so I was like, okay, we're going to do this. Every time we meet, I'm going to be even more of a human being. We're going to be less of a fan. So
And that's so hard to do. And especially, like, you're not the first person to say that. And I'm like, y'all, like, those of you who have been to my house for sure, you know, I just chill with my cats and just watch my YouTube videos and call it a day. Like, so whenever I hear people say that, I'm just like, oh, wow, I guess I am. Like, someone came up to me at the day party today. And I'm just like, oh, a secret celebrity's in the building. I'm like, who? What are you talking about? Like, and they're like, you. And I was like, oh, hello. So I was like, okay, work. Yeah. So I genuinely cannot remember when I met you, but I know I was like, this person's cool. And like, they are very much like, I could tell that you were not a fake person, that you were just like, I genuinely want to talk to people to like get to know them and like how they operate. And that's something I've always appreciated about you. So thank you.
Thank you. I mean, this is why I have my show.
That's why you have your show. Yeah.
Gotta get this creative energy out. Gotta like bring the people together, bring the human out of the people.
Exactly.
There you go. Okay. There was a question that was on the tip of my tongue for you. You know what? I was just thinking about it. The mystique, I feel like with DJs in particular, there is a mystique, right? Obviously, there's the DJ with a mask, who nobody knows. Then there's the DJ that literally no one's ever physically seen in person because the only way you hear about them is the tracks that they drop.
Right.
And then, like, you're always surrounded by the booth and the walls of the booth and the staff. And of course, if you're larger than life, you've got your security. The staff is raised so much higher above. I guess I'm just wondering, what does it feel like to be a DJ in a relatively small metropolitan area? And like, how does that push back against the mystique of it all?
You know, and I don't know if there are any other DJs that can relate to this, but It's interesting. I don't say that in a negative way. Sometimes it really takes me off guard because sometimes I will just be chilling, living day to day and all of that. And I'll be in the grocery store and someone will come up to me like, are you Aries Firebomb? And I'm like, who wants to know? Like, what? Who are you? And they're like, oh, no. I'm just such a big fan. And I was like, oh, okay. What's up? But like, it's so funny. Like my husband, Tim is a rocker. Shout out to Tim is a rocker. They have a new single called Guilt Trip that's available now on all streaming platforms. We'll be out places. And he was like, I hate that you're more famous than me. I really do.
That is Timothy to a T.
Timothy to a T. And it's like, I know part of you is joking, but I also know you're very serious. So
honesty is the best policy in your relationship.
It really is. It really is. And so, yeah, it's, I don't want to, I really do appreciate it all the time because I just show up to just spin music and I just want to make people feel good. And so sometimes I do it to an audience of 5, sometimes I do it to an audience of 500. It just really does depend. So I don't necessarily think that there's like mystique with me, I guess, because I'm such a blunt and honest and open person. I really do like to consider myself an open book. I just love to like talk about anything randomly. So I don't think there's too much mystique behind me, but I'm pretty sure other people would have a very different answer when it comes to me in that. So yeah.
Well, let's meet the person.
Yes.
Or rather, I guess the parasocial concept of you. Let us get to the you.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So of course you mentioned that you spent your childhood in Chicago. I love Chicago. What brought your family to Minnesota?
So I was born in Indianapolis. And then I grew up a bit. I split my time between Gary and Chicago, but between the ages of like 2 to 8. And when I was 8, I moved to Minnesota with my mom. She just wanted to get out of Gary. She didn't really care for Chicago all that much. And we had some relatives up here. And so we're just like, she decided, like,
somebody
yeah,
lives here. Somebody lives here. I would love it if you could spend more time with me.
Right. And so, like, yeah, we came here and I just lived all over the St. Paul suburbs. I grew up a little bit, spent a little time on the east side, then grew up in like Rosemount, Ember Grove, Eagan, and then went to middle school and first year of high school in St. Paul. Shout out to Washington Technology Magnet and Central High School. Those are two places I went. And then we went back to Indiana when I was about 15. And then I came back to Minnesota when I turned 21 because I did not like Indiana whatsoever. And my family refused to let me move to LA like I wanted to. They're like, that's way too far. You need to be closer to us. And I was like, fine, how about I'll go back to Minnesota? So I've been here.
In between LA and anything else.
Right. Like, okay. And so, yeah, I've been back here since I was 21, went to college here, went to grad school here. Ended up meeting my husband and just kind of stayed. So Minnesota has been my home for like the past, actually, I think the 18th makes 17 years. Yeah, I've been here for a while.
So, I'm not gonna call you a transplant at this point.
No, and everyone's like, everyone's like, you're a Minnesotan. I was like, no, I refuse. But no, I pretty much am like at this point. Yeah, I like to call myself a Midwesterner through and through.
See, y'all, part of the show is also giving thanks to where we thanks and also just having pride.
Yeah, having pride. I feel like people love to shade the Midwest, but so much is because of the Midwest. Like, one of the best performers that we've ever had exist, Michael Jackson, is from the Midwest. Like, house music was created in the Midwest. Shout out Detroit, where techno was created. Chicago, like, had house and all of these other things. So it's like, yeah, the Midwest. And then you have Minnesota, where you have Prince, you have Mint Condition, you have Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who've been walking around the Twin Cities the past few days, apparently. We have so much good stuff here in the Midwest, and I feel like people need to, like, give thanks and, like, really pause. Like, yeah, we're not L.A., yeah, we're not New York, but we're not the South. But you know what? We got a lot of stuff here that's working for us, so
agreed.
I live.
This warms my heart, and I hope for our listeners it warms them too. Again, we love Minneapolis.
Yes.
I'm gonna forget what we said yesterday.
Yeah, forget what I said yesterday and forget what I'm going to say tomorrow, but today...
Let's not cast ill will towards our future selves. How has living in Minnesota informed your approach to DJing? Or just, I should say, the Twin Cities.
Oh, wow. directly responsible for me becoming a DJ, honestly. I got fed up with what I was hearing at the time. And this was, like, I want to say, 2019? So it was still... like coming out of that like weird EDM pop era and Drake everything. And I was just like, I want to DJ like actual music that I know people will love. And so the initial mission was to make dance music black again. And I said it as a joke and people were like, no, I actually like that. Like, for real, because that's exactly what you do, because I play things. I don't just play house music. I play Amapiano. I play Afrobeats. I play disco. I play dance hall. I do all of these different forms of black dance music just to make sure that people know where the roots and the origins come from. Mm-hmm. And just also to learn that there's more than just, you know, what you hear on Top 40, what you hear on like Spotify playlists. Like, really, you know, get out, dance, like do it. Just do it. Yeah, Minnesota for sure has definitely impacted how I approach things when it comes to DJing and like just the lack of what I was seeing here at that time. And it's gotten so much better. Shout out to all of the Twin Cities DJs now that are out there doing it.
The live music scene feels decentralized in a really beautiful way.
Yeah, yeah. And it still has its, like, you know, issues with, like, segregation and sexism and all of that. We definitely need more femme DJs out there. I am always an advocate, and I'm always trying to teach more people, like, hey, even if you have an interest in DJing. So, Ash, if you want to learn, just let me know.
You know what? The way that I tell you every quarter on the first, as if I'm providing you with a report on my life that I really want to learn, and I know I haven't gotten around to it yet, but y'all, just so you know, I'm quitting my job on Monday. Let's clap. This was a long, hard road. So as soon as that's done, this is one of my passion projects, is genuinely learning how to DJ for real.
Yes.
And I'm like, I've seen these boards far too many times to not tinker with it.
Oh yeah, and you already know music, and I, to anyone listening, I say the hardest part about being a DJ is knowing your music. There are so many DJs out there who just don't know their music, and that's why you hear really bad, sloppy transitions, no shade, but it's like you really... I ain't no names, but you really gotta like listen to your music, and you really have to know. And I'm talking like down to, okay, I know a breath is coming here, so maybe I could do some wordplay here, or maybe I could do some tone play, and just really knowing your music through and through, and really knowing what an audience will like. Sometimes DJing, yeah, is fun for yourself, but you also got to make sure people are dancing.
Well, speaking of music, as you listeners know, here on I Love You Minneapolis, forget what I said yesterday, I love asking our guests about songs that have in some way that embody who they are, mm-hmm. what they're up to, or have inspired their life. So this first song that Aries wanted to that Jamon, also known as Aries Firebomb, wanted to share with you all is Good Life by the DJ and vocal combination Inner City. And I just wanted to ask you, why does this song embody your journey as DJ?
So this song is, when I think of house music, this is what I think of. It came out in 1988, which I hear is a very good year. and it just embodies like what it means to just feel good, have fun. It's also in one of my favorite movies of all time, BAPS. And yeah, I just really love just how simple it is, but also how whenever you hear it, like those first few opening notes, you're like, oh, okay. And then just, you can't help but move a little bit. So yeah, shout out to Paris and Derek. I forget his name right now. I'm drawing a blank, but Inner City from Detroit.
Amazing. So y'all, you're going to hear their amazing music, and we'll be right back after the break.
Let me take you to a place I know you wanna go. It's a good life.
Baby,
host, Moose and His Musings, and this is I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. I would be remiss if I didn't inform you that programming on KFAI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners just like you. So basically, it's us twice, since our taxes pay for those grants. So big up yourself twice, pat yourself in the back twice. Pew, 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 pew. Thank you for helping us keep the lights on and allowing us to share amazing information, content, for lack of a better word, with you all.
Yes.
Simone, how are you feeling?
I feel great. I feel great. Like, yeah, you know, I got a couple comments already. People are listening. Shout out to Dia. Yeah, I'm having a good time.
Period. Let's keep it going. Let's let the good times roll. So I'm coming at you with a two-parter. Describe the moment or experience that inspired you to become a DJ. How do you channel the wonder or joy you felt in that moment into your work? And with that in mind, can you describe for us, me, because I'm curious, and our listeners, because they're here with us today, a day in the life of a DJ. We could talk about the music formats that you engage in, the event preferences, marketing, networking, connecting with supporters, preferred equipment. Nothing's off the table.
Okay, yeah. So the simplest way to say this is that I was working an event, a queer event here in the Twin Cities. That's still, you know, they're pretty successful still. And I was just kind of like, wow, this music really sucks.
Of course, a strong critique.
And like, I was talking to some friends of mine who I was with, and, you know, we went out to these events and had a good time. And they were like, you know, you have so much music, which is true. I've been collecting music since I was like given my older cousin's like big CD booklet from the 90s. Like, yeah, so I'd say for the past at least 30 years, I have been collecting music and just building that library. And so people were just like, you should actually give DJing a shot. So I bought this little rinky dink deck and started practicing, and yeah, just kind of took off from there, like just fiddling with knobs and all of that. And it's been such a blessing. Like, I've met so many amazing people. I've got to do so many amazing things since becoming a DJ. Like, my first year actually working with that same company that had the terrible DJs before, I was able to like open for Janet Jackson at Treasure Island Casino. I was also, when Six the Musical had their previews here, I was doing like after parties at the theater, which was crazy because like, who does that? So it was
clearly
Jamon, okay. Clearly Aries Firebomb, shout out to him. But yeah, like doing things like that just really, it was like, okay, cool. Because like, you know, I've always just been a person that was like constantly working in like day jobs. I worked in government for years, and then I went
shout out to everybody in public service.
Shout out to everyone in public service. I worked in government. I worked in social work. I did all of these different things. And DJing is definitely one of the things where I just get to like be. And I love making people dance. I love making people happy. So I love doing like private events where I can just do whatever. Weddings I do every now and then. Those usually aren't my favorite because just dealing with people. And it's not even just the bride and groom, it's like other people. So like yeah, it's very taxing.
You just never know what the guests
you never know
are gonna do, what energy they're gonna bring the night of.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, you know, and also just being able to just DJ freely when I do dance parties, or like when my friends hire me to like do like birthday parties and things like that, and like their friends get in contact with me, like, I heard you at so and so, so can you do this? And it's like, yeah, I love doing stuff like that. So if you're looking for a DJ, holla at me, please. I got student loans to pay, so.
You know what? It just keeps going.
But yeah, just doing those different things and really settling into a groove. Like I said, this is my 7th year doing this, and I did not ever think that it would be like a career for me. And so being able to say I've done as much as I've done in those 7 years, and the fact that I get to teach people how to DJ as well. People come up to me and it's like, hey, can I pay you to do this? No, you don't got to pay me. We just got to sit, talk. I need to know what it is that you want to get out of DJing. Like, do you actually want to be a DJ for the love of music, or do you just want to be an influencer that happens to play Spotify mixes and stuff like that? There's a difference.
Discernment is key.
The discernment is key. And that's no shade to the influencers who just play Spotify mixes. Like, yeah, there is a market for that, and people do very well for that. But I love when people have a genuine love for music. Doesn't matter what type of music, just a genuine love for it and want to learn the art form of DJing. So
you're just a perfect fit for what we're up to here, KFAN. I just really appreciate that. Definitely a perfect
thank
fit
you.
For I Love You Minneapolis.
Thank you, thank you.
Yes. In recent years, speaking of, thank you so much for speaking about the events that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And in recent years, as an observer, as a fan, as now a friend,
mm-hmm.
It seems as though you've expanded your portfolio of events to include city and state funded initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
What drew you to these types of events?
What drew me to those type of events was basically seeing the lack of care and support for people that look like you and me at these events.
Yes.
And so I applied for grants. A friend of mine, shout out to Sim One, who's a local pop artist here, amazing girl, my homie for life. They were like, hey, have you ever thought about like applying for grants and just throwing your own parties? I was like, no, go on, tell me more. And so I've applied for two grants now with the Minnesota State Arts Board. I've gotten both of them. And over the last like 3 years, I have been able to do these dance parties that showcase just the need for community building, putting Black and brown queer people together, making sure that we highlight small businesses too. I know about a year ago now, I did a Lionsgate Portal dance party over at Phelan Lake in St. Paul.
Stunning lake, by the way.
Beautiful lake, beautiful lake. Very underrated too. But okay. You know, we won't get into that. We talk about Minneapolis right now. But but I got together with Baki Baki Baki, who does zines, and I set mm-hmm. them up with like a zine station and paid them to teach people how to make zines at this dance party that I threw with Chico Chi and the Insomniac, and then also had Cast Iron Mommy, who is an Asian small business owner who is aspiring chef.
Ooh, that
and just
good.
Yeah, just had everyone come out and just, you know, congregate and be in a space that was supportive of each other's talents, supportive of each other's energy, and just made sure that everyone had a good time. And so doing events like that through these state-funded programs, I think that's why it's so important that people really need to engage with the arts, especially when we live in a government that is trying to take all of that away right now.
Mm-hmm.
And having these opportunities to connect with people who may not feel comfortable with going out to a nightclub or something like that because of bad experiences, having that available to them as an alternative has meant the world to me. And so many people have messaged me like, hey, I came to this thing with my friend. I didn't know what to expect, but thank you. Like, I appreciate you doing this. I appreciate you doing that. When is the next event? When are you doing this? And I was like, child, these things cost money. And when the money gone, you know, we gonna work it out. But I love doing stuff like that. And I love getting that type of feedback and just seeing people build relationships with each other as well. Because I feel like we throw around the word community a lot, but I feel like a lot of people don't understand what that actually entails.
Mm-hmm.
Community is more than just, you know, your clique of friends that you have a group chat with. And when you see them out in public, you're still in that same little bubble.
Words
have meaning. And you should go out and engage with people. Simple as that. Like,
and that's what art allows us to do.
That's what art allows us to do.
Oh, thank you so much. Jamon, I would love to know how your connections with event attendees and collaborators at these city and state funded events differ from standard night flight events. I know you alluded to it, but just if you want to just like get into the nitty gritty of that.
Oh, yeah, we can.
And then
yeah.
How much work goes into applying for these grants?
Oof, child. I will say, I'm going to answer that question first, because I was just helping someone with a grant. And it's a lot of work. It's intimidating work because you want to make sure that you are doing things right. You know, this is money that you are responsible for. This is taxpayer money. This is, you sign that contract, you have to make sure that everything is done exactly how you said you were going to do it. And they, and with those grants, they do have, like, you have leeway. So, like, you don't have to do, if you had a certain set number of dates when you applied for the grant and something happens, like, I had a certain date that I had scheduled back in January, but then Operation Metro Surge happened. So I had to, like, figure out a way to still do that event and also make sure people were safe. So we just switched it to like a virtual type of thing. And then we I think we doubled up that month. We did a virtual event and then we ended up doing another in-person thing once everything like died down. So doing things like that helped a lot. But yeah, just really making sure that people understand what it is that they want to do first, having an actual plan. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to throw a party. Okay, well, what type of party? Who is this going to benefit? Like, how is it going to benefit them and why? Making sure that you do that helps a lot. And so to get into the difference between doing these state-funded initiatives versus, like, doing things at, like, a nightclub or something like that, you do have more control over what it is that you're doing when you have a grant. You know, when you can go and you can pick the venues yourself, you can talk to the people who run these venues and say, like, hey, this is what I want to do. This is how we're going to do it. How much do I need to pay you to reserve this space? And then we can take care of everything else, like as far as security and all of that. Whereas if you're going to an already established venue or nightclub, you have to worry about door splits. You have to worry about their security. And if their security has any implicit biases against, you know, black people, against brown people, against trans people. And it's just, and no shade, a lot of these venues, especially a lot of queer venues, simply don't. They care about the bottom line, which I get it. As someone with the MBA, I truly get it. Right. But you also have to make sure that people want to continue to come to your space. And at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of these venues, a lot of these spaces simply don't care enough about black people or brown people or fat people or trans folks to actually care enough to make sure that it's a memorable and enjoyable experience for everyone. So that's why I much prefer doing things when I have a grant and I can control that and make sure that people feel seen and represented in a way that they don't get to feel that in all these other spaces.
I think it's just really beautiful to hear from you and also to see from our other friends, from some of our other friends and colleagues who are artists, and specifically DJs, putting this into practice so it doesn't just sound like platitudes or like, this is the politically correct thing to do, so
exactly.
Someone doesn't come after me. But what does it look like to actively do that negotiation? While we don't, as listeners, as fans, see the behind the scenes, we experience the results in real time with you.
Right, right. And also, like, with that, people forget that a lot of, like, the disco movement, the house movement, a lot of these dance parties that DJs were doing were because of the need for community. They were doing rent parties. They were doing fundraisers for people, for their friends who were suffering with HIV and AIDS and making sure that they were getting money to eat. And I feel like we lost a lot of that. People have cared more about, again, the bottom line and the dollar, which is great. But, you know, we need to have more compassion to the people that we are in community with.
Community cares, and community is not a noun, it is a verb.
It is a verb.
Well, it's both, actually.
Well, yeah.
It's both.
But that's also, like, I wanted to say real quick, that's why, like, with the parties that I do now, I've decided since the beginning of this year, like, 25% of all the proceeds go to a mutual aid that someone who either has mutual aid need or just an organization that is out here doing work for the community. Like, we have donated a bunch of money to the Immigration Law Center of Minnesota this year. Yeah, and doing some amazing work. So, yeah, that's just simple ways to do. Like, 25% is not a lot, especially because a lot of people don't be coming out like that these days. But, you know, it still helps tremendously.
The commitment and being able to, like, physically put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Is what we're showcasing.
Yeah, exactly.
Leading by example.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. With that in mind, let's transition a little bit. Who do you look up to in the industry, and who are your mentors? And a couple other questions I've got in that realm are, how do you process becoming a DJ others admire and look up to? What has your experience been as a mentor, if you've had the opportunity to be one?
Yeah, so I'll start with, like, some of the people that I look up to. There is a DJ known as the Godfather of House. His name is Frankie Knuckles. Shout out Frankie Knuckles. And just knowing his story, like, it's a lot to get into right now, but just Google him. He was such an amazing person, and I really try and model myself as a DJ based off of what I've learned about him. So being very community focused, but also being very focused on the music and making sure that it sounds good and make sure that I'm doing things that don't just follow trends, but that are also still true to me. So that's one person that I love a lot. And as far as being a like mentor for people, you know, that's something that I'm still getting used to. Cause like half the time, like people come to me for advice, and I love talking to people. I love sharing that knowledge. I am an encyclopedia of like pop culture knowledge and just general knowledge in general. So I love having those conversations with people. But I never really looked at myself as like a mentor until like the past like 2 years, where like some of the younger people that I have been interacting with and like hanging out with because of nightlife and because of them seeing me DJ and becoming a fan and then a friend, they're like, oh, so my mentor. And I was like, oh, I guess I am in that spot. Like, I guess I am. Cause it's like, I like to call myself like the cool older brother.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like I like to call myself like the cool older brother, or like, you know, the uncle that comes around, like, just like, hey y'all, bye y'all, like very that. Cause like I really just be chilling, y'all. Like I'm either like writing or like watching YouTube or just like eating cereal, like just having a good time.
I'm gonna get my micronutrients, okay?
Hello, like yeah. So it's like over the past, it's like, but it has felt great because I didn't have that. You know, growing up, especially in my 20s, you know, a lot of the elders I would have had, you know, unfortunately, we lost to the AIDS crisis. May they rest in peace. So I've always said, like, when I become of age, like, I want to be the type of mentor, the type of person that someone can come to that I did not have. And coming of age came way quicker than I thought. But I love it.
Right for Black.
Yeah. I think of like one of my favorite designers of all time. His name is Patrick Kelly, first Black man to have a fashion house in Paris. I don't think he made it past like his 35th birthday because of, you know, AIDS, HIV. So the fact that I can sit here at 38 and be able to have this conversation with you and talk about all these things, like that's a huge feat for me. And to be able to impart a lot of the knowledge that I do have and a lot of the advice that I do have to a younger generation, or even some people who are older than me who come to me, which does happen. And that also throws me off a lot. It's a beautiful feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got one more question.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just an endless...
Yeah, for sure.
Just an endless well of them. How does your role as a gay father, trouble enunciating today, impact your mentorship approach?
This is a good one. And, you know... But it goes back to like what I was just saying, you know, because I did not have that sort of role model, especially as a Black queer person, I just wanted to make sure that I could be that for whoever may need it. And it's been challenging for sure. And I have to remind myself that you were young once too. Mm-hmm. Like you were 24 once too. You were 23 once too. Like it's fine. It'll be fine. But you got to let people.
You are the sum of your parts.
Yeah, you are the sum of your parts. But also I am very much a person in general. I don't just give advice willy nilly. Like I just let people talk and feel how they feel. And if they ask me for, you know, my thoughts or like guidance, then I definitely hop in there. But I just like to be a person that people can come to and we can just talk, and whatever we talk about stays between us, because sometimes people just need to vent to someone and like hear the things that they're saying out loud to kind of like put those pieces together and then go from there about like what it is that they can do to take steps forward. And I have several people who have been like, you know, you don't say much, but I appreciate that because you let me work out things by just being in the room, and just like the few questions that you do ask put things into perspective that really help a lot. So thank you. And like I love stuff like that because again, like, I did not have any of that. Like, I did everything in my life pretty much on my own. And it was hard in my 20s, especially, you know, being a young Black gay man, being a young Black gay person in Minnesota, period. Yeah, like, it's difficult. And I will say that I'm much more proud of the Twin Cities now. Because it is a lot more diverse than it was 10 years ago. And we've come a long way. And I don't know if it's because, like, we've gotten a lot more transplants come here, or if, you know, we've gotten to where a lot of the Gen Z who were growing up and probably seeing the things around them are just like, no, this is what I want to do. And then this is who I'm going to be, and I'm going to stand in it. Like, I just love it. I just love it, because there is a clear difference between 2026 Minneapolis, St. Paul versus 2016 Minneapolis, St. Paul. And I don't care if people disagree with that or what, but there is, as someone who was in the trenches, there's a huge difference.
It wouldn't be too sentimental to say that mentoring on people that are younger than you has helped you find your way back to your inner child.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. That, and just also seeing different people and, like, their artistry and the things that they love, and talking to them about that. Like, I've definitely have gotten back in touch with the creative that I was, too, because, again, I was a very creative child. I wrote all the time. I was an only child, so writing and music were my things. But I was pushed into sports, and I was pushed into, like, doing things like heavy academic, just heavy academia in general. So I kind of, like, locked away a lot of the, like, creative parts of me. Like, my bachelor's is in journalism and screenwriting, but that's as much as, like, the creative process that I did for many, many years, up until I probably say about, like, 5 or 6 years ago, when I started writing for me again and started creating for me again. And even with music, like DJing, like, it got to a point where I was, like, burnt out, and I was just like, I don't know if I want to continue to do this. But hearing and seeing how people reacted to the things that I was doing and the parties that I was throwing, not only now am I more energized to DJ again, but I'm also producing music now. I'm also singing. Shout out to Firebomb Frequencies, which is our house choir that I co-run with one of my mentees, C-Mac, who is an amazing artist. From Mississippi. And we just went to Duluth yesterday and just, you know, did a performance up there. And it was such a great time. Thank you. And yeah, so it definitely has brought me back to myself in a way that I didn't expect, but I also greatly appreciate, because I definitely needed it. I definitely needed it. I think as adults especially, we tend to look at some things as like, oh, it's too late to do this, or it's too late to do that. And it's never too late. Not while computers are out here trying to take away artistry. Never too late. I don't care if you're listening to this and you're 60 years old and you've had dreams of being a pop star. You better get in that booth. You better learn Ableton or Logic. And you better put your songs out. There's a woman that I follow on TikTok. I forget her name. Mm-hmm. But she is, like, in her 60s. And she's like, I made my first beat. And, like, I've been watching her just progress and learn Logic over the past year, and she's gotten so good. And I'm like, yes, that's the type of stuff that we need, because I feel like, especially living in, like, the current climate, you have to find happiness and joy where it is. And I don't care what your dream is, you're never too old for it. Just keep going. Just keep going.
Please follow your dreams. We're gonna quickly transition into our musical break.
Yes.
I know I need a little bit of a break from speaking, from listening. And we're going to listen to Find Your Way Back by Beyonce, a song that dropped in 2019. And I think a nice palate cleanser, refresher, reminder that art was put out and created and thought about fully before the advent of generative AI in this current context. Fully aware it's been around for a long time, but Claude does give me the heebie-jeebies. So with that in mind, Find Your Way Back by Beyonce off of Blackstone.
Daddy used to take me walking down the street. Daddy used to take my hand, say, follow me. Daddy used to leave me back home all the time. I got big enough to run around, Daddy left me outside. He said, find your way back. Big, big world, but you got it, baby. Find your way back. Don't let this life drive. drive you crazy. Find your way back. Come back, come for the street lights on. Find your way back. Find your way back. Daddy used to tell me, look up at the stars. It's been a long time, but remember who you are. Circle the life, and one day I might not make it. Circle the life, and one day I might not make it. But you just gotta find your way back. Big, big world, but you got it, baby. Find your way back. Don't let this life drive you crazy. Find your way back. Come back home for the street lights on. Find your way back. Find your way back. Daddy used to teach me all my moves. Run around, run, have to tie my shoes. Itty bitty child with a smile like you. Wild, wild child, look a lot like you. Daddy used to teach me all my tricks. Run around, why I had to get my fix. Daddy used to teach me all my plays. On a marathon, had to run my race. Find your way back. Big, big world, but you got it, baby. Find your way back. Don't let this life drive you crazy. Find your way back. Come back home for the street lights on. Find your way back. Find your way back.
KFEI comes in part from First Avenue, presenting Trish Toledo at the Turf Club, Thursday, August 27th. Trish Toledo is a young artist with an old-school sound, a musical time traveler who reinvents early 60s pop and soul ballads with modern fire and fortitude.
Exploring classic catalogs, Trish selects songs based on how the themes most faithfully mirror on her own life experiences. Opening the show is Rudy Dionda.
More information about Trish Toledo at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
Are you listening to Fresh Air Community Radio? KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis or online at kfai.org. Well, so am I.
Me too.
So much again for keeping up with us on I Love You Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. I am the Sun's Musings. I'm still here with our lovely guest, Jimma, also known as Aries Firebomb.
Hey, hey.
And we've got two more questions before we've got to roll out today. So my penultimate question to you is, what issues do DJs face that are unique to Minnesota, and how can DJs navigate these issues with more ease?
That are unique to Minnesota. I'm gonna be real. The lack of venues. There are so many places here who don't give DJs the opportunity to prove that you can actually bring a crowd in without being, you know, a rapper or an out-of-town artist or something like that. Like, give more local DJs a chance, and give more local DJs a chance without an impossible financial ceiling to hit. Like, I'm not going to name no companies or anything like that, but there are some places here that, like, yeah, if you don't have a certain amount of numbers, like, in the door, they'll take like 75% of the door you're trying to make. And when you consider that a lot of these DJs are either working full time and getting underpaid or trying to do things to not only provide safe spaces for their community to dance, but also to just try and get a little bit of extra money, you're pricing them out. And I just think that's a little unfair, especially when you hear about all of these other spaces in like Chicago or New York, and they're just like, yeah, I just did an event at this thing. I just did an event at that thing. And it's just like, that's so cool. I wish more people would do that here. And I will say, shout out to the people at the Chota Coffee and Jinx and Cumi and all of them, because they have been doing like coffee, like shop, like dance parties and things like that. And that's what we need more of. And who knows? Yeah, maybe you'll see like a little Planet Firebomb, Aries Firebomb coffee shop and wine bar pop up here in the next few years where people can do something like that. So
I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic
very much that
caused the shutdown of many venues that were supportive of up-and-coming
Correct.
Artists or local artists who had been around for a while but are not bringing in 20,000 people, 10,000 people.
Correct, correct.
And also Operation Metro Surge led to economic shutting down a variety of venues. So obviously there are other things at play here, but a valid critique nonetheless.
Exactly.
Yes, or rather a valid push or inquiry to do better.
Yes,
there
yes.
There we go. Alrighty, and my last question for you.
Let's do it.
What are your hopes and dreams for the music scene in the Twin Cities and in the state of Minnesota?
I hope to see even more people embracing different ideas for what a dance party could look like, what music performances can look like, what a DJ will spin, what a DJ looks like. Like I said, I want more black and brown DJs out there. I want more femme DJs out there. I want more trans DJs. I think as of right now, I think I'm probably the only black gay male DJ that I can think of.
You know, that I think that has, I think that is, I want to say, I think that is like known enough to have regular gigs. I think there's some people that are starting out.
Yeah.
But
that is,
but like they just
exactly, exactly.
In the past year, I feel like
so exactly. Like,
okay, we've got to bring them up.
Yeah, and so I want to see more people because, like I said, I'm getting old. Like I'm tired of nightlife per se, but I want to encourage and push younger people out there and give them a platform so they can be out there doing it, you know. And I would love just to see more people go out and support like your friends who are trying to DJ, like. Yeah, go to that event. Who cares if it's only, you know, there's probably only going to be like 20 people there. You 20 people better show up and have fun. Plain and simple. And that's really what it is. It's really what it is. Just showing up for each other and making sure that you're creating space that you want to see.
Especially, I mean, and at some point, right, ideally these 20 people become 40.
Yeah.
Become what, 80, become 160.
Yeah.
I can't do much more math than that. But the point is, ideally that fan base continues to grow.
Exactly.
And that's what community is showing up for people.
Exactly.
Oh, well, Juwan, our time has come to an end. And listeners, as you know, I do have to end right at 8. I've got to be better about that. So with that in mind, we're going to transition into our closing song. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, listeners, thank you for being here with us as well. I have been Usanis Musings. This has been Juwan, also known as Aries Firebomb. And we have been I Love You Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. We will see you soon with again some more up and coming and established DJs to talk more about their experience.
Yes. Have a good night, y'all.
With me from the start. I've got mad love for your sister. You got a piece of my heart. I know I don't say it's enough. I want you to know what I feel in my heart. I don't want you to think that I take you for granted. You mean so much to me, please understand it. Cause I got mad love for you. 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 Cause I got mad love for you.
I've got mad love for you, mama. You brought me into this world. I've got mad love for you, father. Even though I know I don't say it enough.
understand it. Cause I got mad love for you. 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 I got mad love for you.